670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Reception Perception, The Show, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Reception Perception, The Show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
The Jets, fluker for real. The Jets have unlocked Justin Fields, 16 of 22 passing, 218 yards, three total touchdowns, two on the ground, no picks, a 119 passer rating. And man, the chemistry, collegiate chemistry between Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson was for reals. That touchdown pass that he threw, my goodness gracious, that was a thing of beauty. The Jets have unlocked Justin Fields, fluker for real.
Okay, so this is true. I was so geeked to watch this game back. I'm way too geeked what I saw out of the Jets. Dude, yes. I'm not kidding you. Okay, so this is what happened on Sunday. Right. You know, I got my setup here. I got my multiple screens, got the quad box, the whole deal.
Of course.
I put the Jets Steelers up on this like laptop monitor that I turn around. It's not small. It's pretty big. Like I can see it from my couch over there. I was like, I'll just give them that like kind of treatment because it's a local game. It's easy to get, but it's probably not going to be that exciting. You know, no. Jets Steelers. It ended up being the most exciting game of the week.
Like, dude, it was awesome.
One of them, obviously, it's not Bills Ravens, but like right up there, it's one of the most exciting games of the week. So I got to like move it up, you know. And then so I've got
you
my
graduated
eyes.
It
graduated it off the throwaway screen.
Beautiful.
The performative little throwaway screen at the 1 p.m. Uh-huh. Eastern window. Graduate up. So I'm kind of dialed into this game, and I would say probably like in the middle, maybe end of the first quarter, I was like, I can't wait to chart this Garrett Wilson game. It's not even over yet. I can't wait to get my eyes on it because I could just tell watching this game that a lot of what I was hoping to see out of the Tanner Engstrand offense, like he's the guy that we need to talk about here. Tanner Engstrand, new offensive coordinator, comes from Detroit, was the passing game coordinator. I was like, this is exactly what I was hoping to see. We're seeing like motion at the snap. We're seeing condensed formations. And I talked about this a lot with Garrett Wilson last year, where Garrett Wilson in this offense, like the difference between him playing in the Nathaniel Hackett, Todd Downing, you know, Aaron Rodgers offense, how spread out that is, how like isolated all the routes are, how it's just like go routes, out routes, slants, like sort of it's the access throws, right? Where Rodgers gets to the line of scrimmage. He's like, this is the matchup. This is where the ball's going. It's going to come out fast. As opposed to, again, we are doing a lot of the pre-snap eye candy. We're getting these guys tight to the offensive line. We're getting a lot of space to the outside.
Yeah.
That not only makes so much sense with just like, that's what all the good modern offenses are doing right now. And it's the antithesis of everything that the Jets offense had been the last 2 years. It's also really good for a guy like Justin Fields, man, because then you're giving him these big windows to the outside. Like it's an outside route, but it's not just like a static go route or a static out route with not a lot of space. You're giving him like out routes to the field. So he's got a bigger window to hit. And there was just so many of those opportunities. Again, even just watching it back on the broadcast live, I'm like, oh, this offense feels completely different. And quite literally, again, it was the first film I pulled up this morning. You could have given me a million guesses yesterday. I don't think, well, not a million, obviously, because there's only 32 teams that are not playing. They would have easily been like the one I'd say, I'm definitely not watching that Jets game back.
Yeah, no way.
But it was the first one I pulled up because I was so curious about this offense. And James, I cannot express to you how like enthusiastic I was watching
That's
what
amazing.
They put together from a pass game design.
Amazing. Amazing. And again, it was very noticeable. The funny thing about this, Matt, is...
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't have this in the rundown, but I do want to talk about Pittsburgh too, because it was also true on the other side that, and you and I talked about this, that the Arthur Smith Aaron Rodgers marriage seems to, like, it on paper looked like it was going to work really well, and man, on Pittsburgh's side too, it looks so much better than I was anticipating. I thought it was going to be a mess, a little bit of a mess. Yeah, sure, the OC and the quarterback, yeah, okay, they could get together. But from a personnel standpoint, you're saying, they just don't have the personnel. But golly, man, the marriage of that OC and quarterback also worked really, really well for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Pittsburgh film back yet because I was dialed in on the on the Jets, obviously, which, my God, again, what a thing to say. But it really was interesting to see just the marriage of some of what Arthur Smith wants to do and some of what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. And frankly, like, when they leaned into some of the Arthur Smith stuff, that was kind of like the better, you know, the better stuff. They were so good on play action. Three of Rodgers' four touchdowns came on play action. When he was a little bit more willing to stand in the pocket. Now, when you get close to Rodgers, like close enough to sneeze on him, you're bringing him down. There's not a lot of mobility there. But and I also thought the Jets defense, I did not expect to come out of week one thinking Jets offense stock up, Jets defense stock down. But that is how I'm feeling about it coming out of here. So we'll see over the course of like a full season how the Rodgers Arthur Smith marriage works. But I am looking forward. I'm probably going to get eyeballs on Calvin Austin before the end of the week, because I thought they did some fun stuff getting him free. We'll see what that comes to bear. But back to the Jets and the Garrett Wilson alignment stuff. So I pointed this out in the offseason. Garrett Wilson, in the NFL, 2022 to 2024 in reception perception, 64.4% snaps outside, 72%, 75.8%. His reps outside have actually been going up each and every season. So fewer snaps in the slot, fewer snaps in the backfield. His routes, his snaps off the line of scrimmage have been going down. Like, he's been getting more and more work at X receiver, which makes no sense. I mean, look, Garrett Wilson, we know, is a fantastic separator, but we say this all the time. It's like malpractice. People should check out the Jamar Chase 2024 profile. I just put it up on the site. It's actually free if people want to go check it out. I put it up just a little bit before week one. I really go into the details of how they altered his role and how basically if you're not taking your number one and using them like this, it really is coaching malpractice at this point. And I think a lot of what we saw was that was how Garrett Wilson was previously used, as this like static boundary receiver. And then in this week one game, snaps in the slot, 36.4% sampled snaps in the slot. He was still more on the line of scrimmage than off the line of scrimmage, but it was in these condensed formations where you're stacking him with another guy. Arian Smith, your boy, I think they just drafted him because of the speed, like just to do those little whip, like the little motions at the beginning, at the beginning of the play, like at the snap, so that you can rip him open, Garrett Wilson. Like, there's a lot of that stuff. There's one play where he's from, I think it was just like a in-breaking route. I have it clipped. I'll probably tweet it out, but where Garrett Wilson is in the slot, and they motion somebody, they motion a boundary tight end all the way from one side to the other. And then I think it is either Arian Smith or maybe it's Tyler Johnson is then full motion at the snap. And then Garrett Wilson becomes like, he was the slot receiver, then he was the outside receiver. And then at the snap of the ball, he's actually the slot receiver again because two guys are in motion and it's all from this condensed formation. He runs a quick in-breaker, 8 yards, man coverage. We keep the chains moving. It's like there were 0.0 plays like that in the offense last year. So did they unlock Justin Fields? I mean, I do obviously want to get more data over the course of the year on that, but I come away pretty bullish that like Tanner Engstrand might know what he's doing from an offensive coordinator perspective, which is good news Justin Fields, because I think he leaned into a lot of what makes Fields will like get the best out of Fields and avoid some of the catastrophic mistakes.
Well, I think what they did was they absolutely, I don't know if this is coaching or philosophy or whatever, but they didn't ask him to make a lot of touch throws. It's either we're going to go down the sideline and you're going to get into these like big, you know, again, you're talking about, you know, a post route from the slot or whatever it might be, right? Like you're getting into these like big windows that you could throw into, not along the boundary, even though maybe the ball ends up close to the boundary. It's not a boundary throw, right? We're not just going vertical on the boundary and you got to get it there, right? Like you got these big windows. That's what I noticed. And the other thing is, they just didn't ask him to layer a throw over a middle linebacker in between a safety and a linebacker, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like, hey, listen, there's going to be some comeback routes, you know, there's going to be out routes or whatever, but there, what you're not going to do is you're not going to throw to the middle of the field and you're not going to have to layer a throw. You can laser gun a throw underneath and that's going to work for you, or you can throw into these big gaping open field areas and throw it over there too. But I thought from a Justin Fields specific perspective, I really thought that was really, really smart. He just didn't have to do any of the throws that he's not good at, which is those touch throws over linebackers.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, you said it, layering throws over the middle. That is certainly never going to be Justin Fields' thing. You mentioned those out routes. That was other than slants, like quick in breakers, the most commonly run route that Garrett Wilson ran in the week one charting, which all this stuff's going to be on the site, by the way. So you people can check it out there. But that was the number one most common route that he ran. Garrett Wilson, according to Fantasy Points data, was 10th in first read target share, 36.4%. So he definitely, it's like, get the ball to your first read, see it, throw it type stuff. That's what, that's what you want out of Justin Fields. If not, check it down and keep the ball moving. Don't make mistakes. Don't force it to guys like Josh Reynolds deep down the field. Like, he's just there to dig out in the run game and clear space out. So it's not like the biggest menu or anything, but certainly a lot more positive than what we got out of the Jets offense last year. And you mentioned some of those deep post routes from the slot. I will never forget that Garrett Wilson, after his rookie year, I sat down with him at the Super Bowl that year and I asked him, you know, like typical receiver stuff I like to ask, you know, where do you like to line up? Give me your details on that. Like, where do you, what are your favorite routes to run? And he, you know, he said, I love to want to run more routes out of the slot. And I was like, I guarantee you it's because you want to run like deep over routes from the slides. Oh yeah, 100%. And quite literally ever since then, his slot rate has gone down every single season.
Oh, man. Okay.
And his percentage of dig routes and post routes have gone down, or have certainly not increased. So that's why I think, beyond just the obvious, why he's been so frustrated in New York, because they cut down like all of the stuff that he really likes. So post route percentage from 2022 to 2023 to 2024 went down every single season. Dig routes, 17.8% as a rookie, 7.4 and 7.5% the two following years. All of those numbers are the dig route especially definitely is trending a little bit back up.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference. It can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.